Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is, what is new with the WebSphere MQ Explorer version 7? Today's presenter is Angel Wafera. Angel is a member of the Level 2 Technical Support Team for WebSphere MQ on Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS aspect of WebSphere MQ. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel.
Good morning, MQ fans. My name is Angel Rivera, and I work for IBM WebSphere MQ Level 2 Support for Unix in the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina in the USA. Welcome to this webcast entitled, What is New with the WebSphere MQ Explorer Version 7? Let's begin. Next page, please. Page 2, Agenda. I will start by giving overall details of the MQ Explorer. This section is aimed to those who are not familiar with the MQ Explorer. We'll cover the overview, the previous webcast on MQ Explorer version 6, the prerequisites, positioning, packaging. Then I will talk about the following topics that might be on the mind of those who are using now MQ version 6 and who are planning to upgrade to MQ version 7. Publish, subscribe, related changes, also called PubSub. By the way, I will not explain PubSub. If you want to know more about it, please see the webcast entitled What is New in WebSphere MQ Version 7, and the webpage is mentioned in page 50 of this presentation. Other topics are general usability changes, welcome page, queue manager grouping or set, security configuration, tighter JMS integration, and miscellaneous. Finally, there will be a period for questions and answers. Before proceeding, I would like to acknowledge the contributions from Maura Hudson, IBM Hursley. Next page, please. Page 3, Overview, Part 1. WebSphere MQ version 6 and version 7 provide the MQ Explorer, which is a graphical user interface used to configure and monitor remote WebSphere MQ queue managers and the objects they contain, such as queues. These remote queue managers could be located on any supported platform for MQ. The MQ Explorer runs from a desktop workstation running on only these two platforms, Windows and Linux Intel x86, both 32-bit and 64-bit. MQ Explorer version 7 helps you to configure Java Message Service, JMS, and publish and subscribe objects, among other things. For a more detailed overview, from a marketing perspective, really, on the MQ Explorer, see the web page mentioned in the slide. Next page, please. Page 4, Overview, Part 2. Remote Queue Managers. The MQ Explorer can connect to all supported queue managers with the following exceptions. WebSphere MQ for ZOS queue managers prior to version 6 and currently supported MQ Series V2 version 2 queue managers. The WebSphere MQ Explorer handles the differences in the capabilities between the different command levels and platforms. However, if it encounters an attribute that it does not recognize, the attribute will not be visible. Next page, please. Page 5, Overview, Part 3. The MQ Explorer in version 7 is based on the one introduced in version 6 with additional changes. It uses the Eclipse platform. It is not based on the MQ Explorer version 5, which did not use the Eclipse platform and ran only on Windows. The rest of this presentation will cover the main changes. For more details, see the help in MQ Explorer. You can access this help by the following. From the help menu in MQ Explorer, select Help Contents. A new window will appear. Expand WebSphere MQ Explorer and see the section What is New and What's Changed in WebSphere MQ Explorer. Next page, please. Page 6. Previews webcast on MQ Explorer version 6. In this current webcast, I will not explain the main functions of the MQ Explorer, such as how to add a remote queue manager. I will recommend to review the PDF file for the following webcast. Remote administration of queue managers using WebSphere MQ Explorer. And in particular, see slides 10 to 12 on how to set up a remote queue manager to be administered by the MQ Explorer, and slides 14 to 17, how to set up for non-administrators to only work with certain queues. Next page, please. Page 7. Summary, setup, remote queue manager. This page contains additional notes on this topic. I will not cover all the details, and you are welcome to review them from your copy of this presentation. This is a summary of the slides 10 to 12 from the mentioned webcast. Next page, please. Page 8, summary, access to non-MQ users. Again, this is a summary of the slides 14 to 17 from the mentioned webcast. Next page, please. Page 9, summary, access to non-MQ users. This is just a continuation of the previous slides. Next page, please. Page 10, prerequisites, part 1. MQ Explorer version 7 can run only on Windows or on Linux, Intel, 32-bit, and 64-bit. By the way, in version 6, run on Windows, but only on the Linux Intel version of 32-bit. It did not run on 64-bit, though the support for Linux Intel 64-bit was added in version 7. When used in a Windows 64-bit environment, it really runs only in 32-bit mode. Next page, please. Page 11, prerequisites, part 1, nodes. This slide has notes on the compatibility of MQ Explorer version 7 with previous versions. Next page, please. Page 12, prerequisites, part 2. The Explorer is a set of plugins that are installed on top of WebSphere Eclipse. MQ version 7 includes the installation packages for Eclipse version 3.3. MQ Explorer version 6 used Eclipse 3.2. Note, this is very important. You must use the Eclipse packaging provided by MQ. There is no support for other packaging of Eclipse, such as Rational Application Development or just plain Eclipse. This is a question that several customers have asked us in version 6, and the answer is the same in version 7. You have to use the Eclipse packaging because there are many prerequisites underneath. And we are certain that what we deliver to you, it is going to run. If you try to hack the installation, the plugins, and so on in a RAD or another Eclipse environment, there is no guarantee that you are going to work fully with the MQ Explorer. Next page, please. Page 13, positioning. The MQ Explorer is positioned as the administration GUI tool for MQ, for all platforms, including ZOS. With MQ version 6, users of ZOS have to buy client connections via the client attached feature, or CAF, in order to remotely administer queue managers in ZOS. If they do not buy CAF, then they do not have client connections and thus cannot use MQ Explorer to administer the queue managers. In order to address the need for ZOS users to remotely administer queue managers in ZOS, IBM is providing with MQ version 7 5 free client connections to the system admin server con channel to be used by the MQ Explorer. In that way, those who do not use the CAF can still use the MQ Explorer. In MQ version 7 in ZOS, because the MQ Explorer is the recommended tool for administration of queue managers, the native ISPF panels for MQ administration were not updated with the new functions added in MQ version 7. For example, you will not see panels for topics or subscriptions. The equivalent native panels used in MQ version 6, however, remain the same in MQ version 7. For example, creation of a queue. You will see those panels. But for MQ version 7 ZOS users, they can use the command line from ISPF to run the new functions. Again, they will not be able to use the panels. They can use line commands. Next page, please. Page 14, packaging. The MQ Explorer version 7 is part of the MQ version 7 server, and it is not part of the MQ version 7 client. Furthermore, the MQ Explorer cannot be ordered or downloaded just by itself. That is, if you have a license for the MQ version server for Windows and Linux for Intel x86, then you have already the MQ Explorer. It's just a matter of installing it. The MQ Explorer is not provided with AIX, HPUX, Solaris, and other platforms. But this begs the question. If the MQ Explorer is the administration tool for MQ, how these AIX users or Linux or HPUX, etc., how can they get the MQ Explorer? Here are some ways to get the MQ Explorer. One, if you receive the CDs for MQ, then you get a CD for each supported platform. Thus, you will get also the CD for the Windows or Linux server. You can use it to install the MQ Explorer. And this is explained in the next slide. Two, if you do not receive CDs, but instead you download the product from the IBM Passport Advantage download site, you get really a multi-platform license. Then you can download the server for Windows or Linux and proceed to install the MQ Explorer, again mentioned in the next slide. Next page, please. Page 15, packaging, number one, actually, these are the notes. In this slide, we have information on the file sets from the MQ server to use to install the MQ Explorer. The top one mentions the ones for, particularly for Linux. Those are the names of the packages that you will need to install. If you have access to the IBM Passport Advantage site, then you can download the server, and these are the full names of the components that you can download. And in between parentheses, we are including the part numbers, which will help you during the search. Sometimes if you just type NQ or something, you will see maybe dozens or hundreds of entries. And if you enter just the part number, you will have a very reduced set, and it's easier to navigate. Another option is for you to download the trial for NQ, which is good for 90 days. You don't need to install. You can download the Linux or Windows. And install only the NQ Explorer. You don't need to install the Queue Manager. And there is no expiration for the NQ Explorer. And there is a tech note for Windows in particular on how you can install just the NQ Explorer portion from once you have the MQ server CD or installation images. Next page, please. Page 16, packaging, part 2. The contents of this slide are already covered. Next page, please. Page 17, licensing. The quotes in this slide were obtained from the following web page about the MQ Explorer, Explorer version 7, technical detail. In particular, the section on licensing the MQ Explorer. MQ Explorer is provided with WebSphere NQ on distributed platforms. MQ Explorer does not require local server or client, and it can be installed on workstations without any charges. And furthermore, in the section about remote configuration, the Explorer runs on Windows and Linux, and it does not need to be deployed with an MQ client or server, and you can install as many copies as needed. Next page, please. Page 18, Remote Administration, Part 1. Okay, up to now, I have talked about the MQ Explorer in general. From now on, I will discuss the new features on what has changed in MQ version 7 with respect to version 6. In particular, the wizard add a remote queue manager was improved, as well as the corresponding items in the context menus. In MQ version 6, the Explorer, the wording was confusing, and it was very easy to get into the path of creating a new local queue manager when you're just trying to add a remote queue manager into the list. Fortunately, in version 7, it has been addressed. Next page, please. Page 19, Remote Administration, Part 2. The Show Hide Queue Managers window has been improved. The top portion has those queue managers that you will see in the main window, the left side of the Explorer, and the bottom portion are the queue managers that are hidden that you will not see in the main window. Next page, please. Page 20, Publish Subscribe Properties in the Queue Manager. The main changes to the Explorer are related to Publish, Subscribed, or PubSub. There are several new QManager properties, those that are related to Publish, Subscribed, and they are shown in the picture in this slide. It contains, in the left side, there is a QManager called Test, and I did right-click, and there is the properties, and the properties, it will have a page called Publish, Subscribe. It doesn't look too well in the webcast. However, in the PDF presentation, it looks good. Here, there are some properties, and the main one is called PS Mode, a Publish, Subscribe mode. We'll explain that later on. Next page, please. Page 21, Properties in QManager, Part 1. The contents of this properties page is equivalent to the output of the run NQSC command shown in this slide, display QManager pops up. And those are the main attributes that are shown. Now, the most important property that I mentioned is PS mode, and is discussed in the next page. Next page, please. Page 22, properties in QManager, part 2. The PS mode means publish subscribe mode. It is used to allow coexistence with publish-subscribe engines in WebSphere MQ version 6. By the way, in version 7, it is called now queued publish-subscribe versus the engine publish-subscribe or native publish-subscribe. And other brokers such as the message broker. These engines or brokers are run outside the queue manager. There are three settings that is worth to explain briefly. Compatibility. This is the default value for existing queue managers that were upgraded from version 6 to version 7. With this option, the version 7 publish subscribed engine inside the queue manager is enabled. That is, you can use the new MQ verb such as MQ sub. But the queued publish subscribed interface is disabled. Okay? It means that you have to run the broker outside MQ, the queue manager, in order to run as you have been doing it before. The next option is enable. This is the default value for newly created queue managers. It means that they didn't have to go through an upgrade. With this option, both the V7 PubSub engine is enabled and the queued publish subscribe interface is enabled. It means that you don't have to run a specific engine like a big broker or message broker and so on in order to work with PubSub. And the other option is disabled, which means no publish subscribed functions at all. Next page, please. Page 23, publish subscribe administration. There are two new folders under the object tree for a queue manager. This is the object tree shown in the left side of the main window. There are topics and subscriptions. In NQ version 6, the topics and subscriptions were handled via the broker and using very specialized queues. In reality, the queue manager in version 6 did not know that PubSub was going on. In contrast, in version 7, topics and subscriptions are objects that the queue manager know about, and thus, it is necessary to place these objects explicitly in the list of administer objects in the Explorer, and they are underneath the queues. Next page, please. Page 24, topic objects properties. You can see the properties for a topic by selecting a topic from the right panel, then right-click and select properties. And then you can see an example of the different properties that you have. Next page, please. Page 25, topic status. Topics, either as topic objects or topic strings, are the main administrative concepts for publish subscribed in version 7. Once you have publishers and subscribers for topics, you can see their status by selecting the topics folder in the left panel and right-click on status. The resulting window will show you the hierarchy tree for the topics. It will show you all the topics that the queue manager knows about, both the explicit topics that have a topic object or those topics that were specified on the fly by a publisher or by a subscriber. The status window will show you how many publishers and or subscribers are present for each topic. Potentially, the list of topics and subtopics could be rather large. Those are the topics from form a hierarchy tree, such as sports, which has a subtopic of sport.baseball. Then the status window shows the collapsed tree, and you can use the plus sign to expand sections on this tree. For example, expanding sports in order to see sports baseball. You may see maybe sports football, etc. Next page, please. Page 26, topic objects and topic status. This slide provides notes related to topics. Next page, please. Page 27, subscriptions, creating a new one. You can create subscriptions to a topic, either to a topic object or to a topic string, by selecting the subscriptions folder, then right-click on New. You can specify whether the queue manager should handle the underlying queue to store the published messages. This is the recommended way, by the way. Or if you want to use an explicit queue for that. Next page, please. Page 28, subscription status. Subscriptions also have runtime status attributes, like channels or queues. You can go to an overall subscription status list displayed from the context menu on the subscriptions folder, or a single subscription status panel from a subscription in the list. Next page, please. Page 29, subscriptions. Next page, please. Page 30. New queue alias properties. Before in queue 7, queue aliases only refer to other queues. Now, they can also refer to topics. Therefore, as highlighted in the picture in the slide, there is something called a base type that you can select now, queue or topic. And there is something called a base object. It replaces the attribute called base queue, which, by the way, is still available for compatibility purposes, but really points to base object. And it contains the name of the target queue or the target topic, depending on how the base type is configured. Next page, please. Page 31, test publication, test subscription, part number one. So far, all the windows and pop-up dialogues in the MQ Explorer are model. That is, once the properties window for a queue is displayed, for example, then you cannot go back to the main Explorer and open another window because you have this property windows still displayed. You are forced to deal with the window that is on top, one at a time. Once you close the window on the top, for example, you dismiss the properties window, then you can open another window. But this is just one at a time. And this is a type of operation called model. It means that you cannot have two property windows at the same time, for example. However, in this slide and in the next, I want to explain that there is a new type of windows in the Explorer that will allow you to have multiple of them at the same time. These are called test windows. In particular, there is one called test publication and test subscription. You can have one publication window and one subscription window at the same time. Actually, you can have multiple publications, multiple subscriptions, but it gets really, in the real estate for the display, it gets really crowded very fast. But I wanted to mention this because some people have missed this feature because they are not aware that there is this new type of operation. And these are called non-modal windows. Next page, please. Page 32. Test publication, test subscription, part two. Let's see in a scenario during which we'll see two windows at the same time. Actually, I didn't include the step zero, how to open the windows, but I will try to explain to you how to do it. For opening the windows, from the topic folder, right-click and select test publication. You will see a new window called publish. Do not close it. Just move it to the left, for example, to make a space for the next window. Then click anywhere on the main, it still is on top, okay? Then click anywhere on the main Explorer window in order to give it focus to the Explorer window. Notice that the published window is still on top, but it doesn't have the focus. Now, again from the topic folder, right-click and select test subscription, and you will see a new window called subscribe. You can move it a little bit to the right in order to be able to have publish on the left subscribe on the right, and the main window is still on the back. Now, step number one, turning the slide. In the publish window, you can enter the message and click on publish message, and then you will see in real time on the subscribe window, you will see what was the message, the time, and the topic string. It is very handy in order to test different ways of dealing with things. One of them is, for example, you can play with the publish test message window. There is a little checkbox called retain message. A retain message is one that even if a subscriber is not active in that moment, when a new subscriber comes, if there is a retain message, the engine will show that message to that new user, that new subscriber. Now, it is sometimes this concept is slightly difficult for some people to understand, but if they can play with this concept using these windows, it will become, I think, more obvious or easier to understand. Next page, please. Browsing message properties. MQ version 7 introduced explicit ways to handle message properties, and the queue manager is able to handle them and search for them. In contrast, in MQ version 6, the queue manager did not really know about these message properties, and it was up to the MQ client to fetch each message and search for these properties, which was inefficient. For example, in JMS, if there were 10,000 messages in a queue in the queue manager that had message properties, and one of them, for example, was color, then when the MQ client in JMS said, oh, I want to have a message that has the message property value for color equals red, then that query could not be given to the queue manager in version 6 because he didn't know how to interpret it. In contrast, in version 6, then the queue client, MQ client, had to retrieve each one of those 10,000 messages from the queue because the client will have the knowledge of how to find out the message properties and to query if there was a color equals red. As you can see, it was very inefficient because the 10,000 messages in the queue had to travel through the network to the client, and most of those messages will be discarded because they didn't fulfill the requirements for the query. In contrast, in MQ version 7, the queue manager knows about the message properties. In that way, when the MQ client tells the server, give me the messages that have the color equals red, then only those messages that fulfill that query will be sent through the network to the client. There is no need for the client to start discarding all those messages and doing the scanning that the queue manager now can do. Step 4 allows you to show the message properties in different ways, depending on how you want to see them. The picture on the upper left side shows you the properties page under the MQ preferences for the MQ Explorer. This page is not associated with a particular queue manager. To bring this window, do the following. From the Explorer menu bar, the main window, select Window, then Preferences, which is all the way at the bottom of the list, and you will see a new window for the preferences of the Explorer. Expand the entry for WebSphere MQ Explorer, and then select Messages. And then you can select how you want the message properties to be shown. While we are looking at this particular panel, we also notice that it is possible to configure the following two items that many people were asking for in version 6. One, the number of messages that are browsed. The number of messages browsed in version 6 was 500, no more. Then if you have a queue that had 600 messages, you couldn't get the 600 in version 6. Now, if you have 600, well, you will have to modify the properties here because the default is 500, but you can increase the value if you want. Also, the other value that many people ask is, when I'm browsing a message, it shows only 1,000 bytes of the data in version 6. Well, now it's configurable. Now you can specify, well, I want to browse maybe 2,000 or 10,000 or whatever. Now, based on the choices that you want on how the message properties are displayed, for example, in the right panel, you will see that it's been shown as MQRFH2 properties, or in the bottom left window, you will see that are as named properties. Okay. Now, next page, please. Page 34, browsing message properties, just more details from the previous slide. Next page, please. Page 35, welcome page. The first time you start up the MQ Explorer version 7 GUI, you will be presented with a welcome page. You can always get back to the welcome page later because many people just close it and you say, hey, I want to, later on you may want to see some of these materials offered in the welcome page. Then to do that, then you go to the main menu bar in the Explorer, help, and then select welcome. There are four icons that you can click and explore. The next slide lists some of the contents. From the left, we have Get Started, then Tutorials, Returning Users, and Web Resources. Okay, next go to the next page, please. Page 37, Grouping of Queue Managers, Part 1. The Explorer version 7 helps you to simplify the management of multiple queue managers by allowing you to group them into separate views. For example, test and production queue managers could be grouped and viewed separately. The grouping can be done in two ways. Automatic, by means of various filterable attributes of the queue managers. There are several predefined filters. Or manually selecting them. Next page, please. Page 38, grouping of queue managers 2. By default, the sets of queue managers are not shown. You need to enable this function as follows. I'm sorry, I just noticed that there is a typo in this page. It is not show sets, it's the other way around. On the folder queue managers, you have to do right click and select sets, then show sets. And then you will be able to see the sets. Let's go to the next page to see. Grouping of queue managers, part 2. Once the sets function is enabled, you will see the default all set, which always will have all the visible queue managers. If a queue manager is specified as hidden, then it will not be shown in this set. Also, you will see the rest of the defined sets. For example, in this picture, there is a load test set which has three queue managers, and there is one called unit test that has only one queue manager. Next page, please. Page 40, security configuration, user ID, and SSL. In the preferences window for the Explorer, you can specify under client connections, as shown in the left panel here, the following security settings, security exits, SSL key repositories, SSL options, and user ID. Next page, please. Page 41. Security configuration, passwords. From the mentioned preferences window, you can specify under passwords how you want to handle the passwords that are used when dealing with security exits, for example, or with SSL. Next page, please. Page 42, tighter JMS integration, part 1. In MQ version 6, once you created a queue manager, you needed to perform another separate task in order to create the corresponding destination queue when dealing with JMS administer objects. In MQ version 7, there is a wizard that can facilitate the creating of these JMS administer objects as part of the overall creation of queues and topics. Next page, please. Page 43, tighter JMS integration, part 2. This is a view of the JMS administrative objects. Although it is not shown here, if you select a queue or a topic under the Destinations folder, you can right-click and see in the context menu the action to create a corresponding queue or topic under the Queue Manager. Next page, please. Page 44, tighter JMS integration. Next page. Page 45, context-sensitive help from InfoPops. You can get context-sensitive help from InfoPops. In a dialog or over a tree item, you can press F1 on Windows or Control plus F1 on Linux to display the info pop. The help will be shown on another tab in the right panel. Next page, please. Page 46. Customizing the order of the columns, part 1. This function was already in MQ version 6, but because I like it so much, I wanted to share with you how to customize the order of the columns by means of schemes. When using the default scheme, called Standard for Queues Distributed, as shown in the rectangle at the bottom of the picture, notice that the number of messages for the queue is not shown on the panel. That is, in order to see the number of messages for a queue, you have to scroll to the right to find the column related to the message, the queue current depth or message, the number of messages. For me, that was very inconvenient to do it every single time that I was dealing with MQ Explorer. Next page, please. Page 47, customizing the order of the columns, number 2. In this slide, I'm showing you the result after I have created a new scheme and specify that I want to see the number of messages, current depth, as the second column instead of being the eighth or the ninth column. And thus, it is going to be in the visible portion of the window. In this way, I do not have to scroll to the right every time that I want to see how many messages are in the queues. Next page, please. Page 48, running tests. Tests. A plugin for testing queue managers was added in MQ version 6.0.2, and it is included in MQ version 7 with expanded functionality. This original feature was called the health check. And the idea was to set up a set of test cases for the queue manager to see if, for example, if there was each sender channel had a corresponding receiver channel on the other queue, on the other end, if a default transmission queue has been defined, if different things like this. And there could be some errors or warnings or just information. And they are shown in a different tab in the right panel. You can customize the test. You may not run some certain tests. You can create your own set of tests in case you don't have, you see that some of these, the things that you want to check for are missing. And you can check the help for the MQ Explorer on the details on how to do the customization of test cases. Next page, please. Page 49, references number 1. The rest of these slides provide reference material. We suggest to consult the MQ version 7 information center. And there are different web pages that I highlighted here at the bottom of the slide. One is just using the Explorer in general, administration of remote queue managers, and the other is extending the WebSphere MQ Explorer, which is really adding test cases. Next page, please. This is references, part number 2. We have a reference to the webcast on what is new in MQ version 7 in general. This is where you can find more details about publish subscribe. The other one is a webcast on remote administration of queue managers using the MQ Explorer. And there are some other links, such as the MQ trial for 90 days, how to install the MQ Explorer feature in Windows, and more details on the MQ Explorer. Next page, please. Page 51, additional WebSphere product resources. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link and support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to help new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you to sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Next page, please. Page 52, questions and answers. At this time, I would like to pass control of this webcast back to Joseph. Thanks.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. At this point, Sarah, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We'll hear from Barbara Hale.
Hi, yes. This is Barbara Hale from Conway. And I was wondering how you can tell if you have the right version of Eclipse installed.
Yes, you can go to the Explorer and in the Help, and then you can do product configuration. And there will be some plugins that will indicate it is Eclipse 3.3 or 3.2. But you cannot use Eclipse 3.2 in order, which is provided with the MQ version 6, to run the Explorer on version 7. You really need to use 3.3 Eclipse provided with MQ in order to work with MQ 7.
So if you pulled Eclipse from the regular Eclipse website, like I'm 3.4.
It will not work.
Because I'm using 3.4, and it seems to work. So it would just be certain functions
okay.
that may not work?
Well, the thing is, we do not support other Eclipses except the one that we provide
okay.
with MQ.
Thank
the
you.
Reason is because there are different levels of specific levels of plugins. Some plugins were explicitly created for us or updated for us. Then there is no guarantee that whatever you download from other sites or RAD or some other products will have those levels of required functions.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll hear from Charlotte Portero.
Yes. In the I've only been working with 5.3, so we're going to go from 5.3 to 7.
Okay.
For the Explorer in the past, you always had to be a member of MQM
mm-hmm.
for it even to come up. What would what? There's no required group on your local desktop then if you want to give the Explorer to a non-administrator?
That's correct.
Wonderful.
Because it is not using the Microsoft console.
Okay.
If you're using Eclipse,
and okay.
anybody could start the Explorer. But based on the group membership, you will not or will be allowed to work with certain functions.
Certainly. Okay,
yes.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
We'll hear from Michelle Moritz.
I'd like to ask if how you would limit the users that can access a queue manager.
Okay. In particular, would you like to avoid non-MQ administrators to create queues and so on, or what is the thing?
I just wouldn't like someone just to open, have some anyone install the software and access any MQ server that they can.
Okay, well, if the person belongs to the MQ group on that particular, for example, let's suppose that we have an AX machine, and you have 5 queue managers, and you don't want people to access those queue managers. Well, if I'm a user that I have a Windows machine and I installed MQ Explorer and then I tried to connect to that AIX box in order to work with those queue managers, if I have a user ID that belongs to the MQ group, I will be able to do that, and there is no really good way to stop it. Then the best way to stop it will be to remove my user ID from that AIX box. In that way, I will not be considered an MQ administrator, and I will not be able to work.
Where do you put this user in? Because from a Windows box, do you get the option to enter your username password, and then you have to enter the AIX username password?
No. The reason is, in Windows, We transfer both the user ID and password, but really the queue manager on the other side is ignoring the password. It's just going to pass it to a security exit. Then it's just checking that if the user ID that is being passed, it first of all exists in the AIX machine, for example, and if so, that's question number one. Does it exist? If so, then it will be question number two. Is this user belonging to the MQM administration group? If so, then it's considered to be an MQ administrator. It's possible to add some security exits. And if you send me an email, I will be glad to provide to you some additional suggestions and references.
Yeah, that would be excellent. I just wanted to ask that, so it does prompt you for a username password on the Windows side. And
well,
you have to
MQ
give
Explorer,
it an AIX user, from what you said.
Well, MQ Explorer doesn't prompt you for user IDs or passwords. It is
so,
using the user ID and password of what you have logged on already to Windows. and is using them. You cannot provide additional things. Is using them in order to send them, the exporter will send them to the queue manager, and the queue manager will do those two questions. Is this user ID in my system? And if so, is this user ID belonging to the MQM group?
So it's sending the Windows user of the current box where the MQ Explorer is installed, send it to AIX and ask the AIX, is this user on the system?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now,
is that with the network domain, without the network domain?
It has nothing to do with the network domain. That is really kind of a construct from Windows. It doesn't apply to Unix.
Okay, and the password has nothing to do with it?
That's correct. It's only used in security exits at the queue manager. But the queue manager doesn't store any passwords.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Now, if you want, you can. I will suggest to take a look at pages 14 to 17 of the webcast about MQ Explorer version 6. In that way, you can see how you can limit some users to work only with certain queues or to not work with any queues.
Okay. I'll have a look at that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And it appears we have no further questions.
Thank you, Sarah. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.